And just as he chose 12, he said, did not pick one of you and your devil. This one thing about the devil, he will always betray. A devil will always betray you. And yet he loved them all. And yet the devil betrayed him. That's what a devil will do, always betray you. They betray mothers and fathers. They betray sons and daughters. A devil will always betray you. They betray honesty and integrity. Why? Because they're liars. They're deceivers from the beginning. Their birth. I will never forget. As Evangelist Horn said, the heart truth said to me 23, 24 years ago. I will never forget it. He said, I say to you, Brother Robert, that these that are born in this hour, they have been filled by the powers of darkness at birth. I believe that. For the parents are not sanctified. As Paul said to the Corinthians, that you sanctified mothers and your fathers, you will save them in childbearing because you have caused the anointing of Yahweh's oil to rest upon them. And so they have been birthed out of wickedness and sin. And Satan was the most subtle creature in all the garden. He was there. And he can lie dormant for a long time. He lies dormant in the hearts of many. He doesn't arouse them. And it's one thing that I have preached over the years that these folks that know me, he said, my children, Israel, do not know me. So it's not a strange thing if folks don't know me. They didn't know Messiah. He came unto his own. And they didn't know him. They rejected him. So it's not a strange thing if you don't know me. I'm not offended at that. For they didn't even know him. They did not even know him. So it's not strange if you don't know me. But if you knew him, as Messiah said, if you knew the Father, and if you believe Moses, you will know me. You will believe me. You would. You will know whether I speak the truth, he said. You will know that without a shadow of a doubt. You will know what is sincere. And so they're being birthed with this twisted mentality, this twisted spirit today. For that they have total disdain for Yahweh, believe me. Or they have a form of this religious order today. But when he speaks to their hearts to show them sin, they deny it. That's not me. They are not that way. Don't speak to me that way. That's what they say. That's what they say. They deny. Cleansed what? By mercy and truth. Only that. Iniquity. Purge. Because he shows you a little mercy. And say you are perverted. You say not I. If I tell you the truth. And I don't lie. By my immutability, my word cannot lie. Amen. And so what they do today, they reject that. You say, not I. Not me. And he says, it's you. He says, it's you. He says, it's you. You see, you're going backwards. You're going back to those things that will not give you any strength at all. I won't go back. I won't turn back. They give you no strength. They bring you down under the captivity of burdens. They don't give you no strength at all. None at all. None whatsoever. When Lot's wife looked back, she became entombed in that place because she looked back. And that's why many becoming pillars of salt, they've lost their Savior. Because they look back to the world. They look back to the trendy things of the world and the seal of the world. And they have no savor in them at all. There's no sweetness in them. There's no fragrance in their souls at all. Because they've gone back and they look back. And that's what Israel did. They began to look back. And they lost that salt. We're the salt of the earth. We lose our savor or our taste. They were good for nothing. And they're good for nothing today. Good for nothing. Even Satan, they're good for nothing for him. Why? Because their souls are locked into an eternal dark place. I will share what the scripture says. These are all iniquities that have bound them. And it's their sins that hold them in the courts. This world today, they're all iniquity. is what binds them. They're bound by iniquity. He asked them, why should you be stricken anymore? He said, the boy beat you. Your parents experienced that. You whipped them. He said, you will revolt for more and more. I told you your sins are you revoltable and more. I began to speak of his glorious name, and that is his name, Yahweh. To revolt the more and more. So prayer began to raise the rod to a daughter or a son. To revolt more and more. Without thinking of the consequences. As a reward of their sins. That there's a payday coming after a while. It is. And it's not far away. As you think. It's even at the door. He said, you will revolt the more and more. The whole head is sick. And the whole heart faints. The heart has no strength, has no love for Yahweh. It's faint. He said, from the sole of the feet, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. No soundness. None. No sound doctrine. No sound principles. No sound laws. None whatsoever. They break them at the drop of the hat. They change it for every kind of perverted thing there is. He's talking about a Yahweh when he changeth not. He's talking to a house that he said, that you are my children, you are my children. And we will say that we are sons of Yahweh, won't we? And yet he said, there's no soundness. He said, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, I will not do what Israel done. Don't tell me that. They had Almighty Yahweh to go before them with the great light. He was a cloud to guide them and bring them so that they could traverse through the very darkness of the enemies. He was a bright, shining, ambering light that guided them in the midst of this dark hour. He fed them food from heaven. He gave them angel food and bread. He set the quails down in the garden. He caused not them to die in the midst of the Red Sea. He was so particular that he did not even allow the bones of Joseph to be left in Egypt. And he brought them out with a great mighty hand. And yet they sinned. They sinned against him. They turned against him. And yet he said he brought you out of your darkness, your sins, your whore and your bewitched spirit. And yet we've turned our hearts against him for the trickiness of this world. We turn against his law because of our kinsmen, our mothers, our fathers, our cousins, our kinfolks. We're ashamed of him, but I'm telling you, he's going to be ashamed of you. You denounce him here, he's going to denounce you here. You denounce him upon the earth, he's going to denounce you before the Father. He's going to say, I didn't know that one. You didn't give that one to me. And so there's shame of his suffering. There's shame of his name. There's shame of what he died for and the purpose of his death. As Elder Martin said to me, they don't realize that they're enemies of Yahweh. They don't love him, they despise him, and they are against him. And they are. I don't care who it is. Your sons, your daughters, they're against him. When a man is for him, he will do what he says. He will do what he says. And when you're for him, you will submit and obey them that Yahweh placed in our midst. He gave them pastors to teach them. And when Yahweh ordains a man, tell me, my friend, if your heart is sincere and you are so real, then are you the only one? Was it simply your son or your daughter? Are you the only one? If you think you know the truth, then I don't know it. You're a fool. Before he ascended, he descended. He gave gifts unto men. He gave them unto men. He didn't give them unto a woman. He gave them unto men. He gave some apostles, some prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers to bring us to the knowledge of his truth. You walk in the perfect law. This crazy mindset today. No, he gave the gifts so that we could be brought to the perfect law. And that's why you got this twisted mindset. I'll seek him on all you are. Then why do you have all them together in the upper room? What? They're fools today. Oh, I'm going to serve. You're not going to serve him. He brought them out and they steal. He brought them out to serve him. He brought them out to a place of plenty. To do one thing, and that's to serve him. And to worship him. And he gave them much for 40 years. He watched over them. For 40 years as the enemy came against them, he still saved them. 40 years even in their sins, he saved them. 40 years when they rebel, he still saved them. 40 years when they lied against him, he saved them. 40 years when they rebel and built gods and strange gods, he saved them. He saved them. He saved them. Yahweh did. He saved them. He saved them. He saved them. He saved them. When they filled his heart, when his anger was turned, he destroyed them too. And he hasn't changed. He's the same. He said, "They, your wounds, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." He said, "You're filthy. Your wounds, they stink. You can sense the stench in them today." He wants the stench. It's not a sweet-smelling savor that goes unto him. You see, you must have a sweet-smelling savor. There must be a sweetness, an aura that goes up before the Father, one of worship and praise and acknowledging him. And it pressed beyond the limitations of the flesh that binds a man. Why? Because your flesh is such an enemy against Yahweh. You think it's someone else, but it's your flesh. It's your fleshly mind that is an enemy against the law of his truth. For his words are spirit in their life. It is your natural carnal mind. That's why you can't obey it. That's why this world cannot do what he says. That's why they cannot receive it. Because that mind, that natural mind, is who God sent. Will not accept his laws, will not acknowledge his laws, and it doesn't delight or rejoice in the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. Not the natural mind. It's supposed to be a mind that is spiritual. And that mind is led by truth. It's led by his word. It takes delight in his word. It judges itself by the according to the word. It allows the word to purge one, and to cleanse one, and to sanctify one. It's going to be done that way and no other way, by his word. It's not going to be done any other way. It's not going to be done mama's way, daddy's way. It's not going to be done by your kinsman's way. It's going to be done by the truth. It's going to be done by the truth. And you're not as free as you think you are. You're bound to every kind of thing. For whom the Son makes free, isn't he free indeed? Then what are you bound to today? Why are you not free in the liberty to actually acknowledge him and to worship him and to show for thankfulness and praises unto him? Then you're not free. Why are you not free from those things that bind you and cause you to allow your flesh to supersede or to reject Yahweh's truth? You're not free. You're not free. For it's one thing that Yahshua Messiah, he was free to die in the will of the Father. Why? Because he had meat and his soul was satisfied with the meat. What? To do the will. To do the will. And to finish the course that he has set forth before him. And he has given us a course. He's given us a mandate. Are we going to finish it? Are you going to die in your wickedness? You're going to finish it? Are you going to lose your soul? You're going to go all the way, or you're not going any other way? You must go all the way. You're not going part of the way. You're not going to do 99.5%. But the Father gave all. He gave all. He gave all. And yet we think we don't give a partial thing to him. No, you are wrong. You are absolutely wrong. If nobody go with me, Father, I'll go all the way. Isaiah 13 and 11. It is your iniquity that has separated you between you and Yahweh. It is your sins whereby he has hid his face from you. We ought to rise and see the glory of his presence every day. I don't want to... come on. We have a father we can't look upon. What a glorious thing when a son look at his father's eyes. And see the oneness and the likeness of each other. It's a very beautiful thing. It's the sins, it's your iniquities that have separated you from him. When he speaks a word of truth to us, it's because of our iniquities that we separate from him. We don't like what he says. We don't want to do what he says. So it separates us from him. Because our minds become so depraved and so wicked, so seared, that the truth has no power to deliver us from the yoke and the bondage of that thing. And so we continue to walk in our ways and walk in our tradition and the things that we perceive that are so right. They're not right. He's right. All the time. 100% of the time. He's right. He says in Isaiah chapter 13. You're going to have to read the entire text to get an understanding of this. But I will open up your understanding to a certain degree. He says in verse 9, he says, first of all, I want to tell you, behold, the day of Yahweh cometh. Cruel. Now this is the day now. This is the day of our Heavenly Father. It is a day that is cruel. You understand what cruel is? Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9. He said, behold, my day cometh. And it is, first of all, both now, cruel and with wrath and with fierce anger to lay the land desolate. There's no knowledge. There's no fire. There's no understanding of me. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. You think that that was just for them? Every word of Yahweh is pure. Therefore, we that are servants of Yahweh, we love it. When a man is not a servant, he doesn't love what Yahweh says. He said, I want you to understand that my day when I come, it is both cruel and is full of wrath, and there's a fierce anger that shall be exploited in that day. Then we have this picture, this little effeminate thing. It's not the Father. I tell you that. He says in verse 11, he said, and I will punish the world for their evil. An evil man is a man, his mind has been turned away from your way. He has no fear of his truth. He despises what he says. He understands his laws, and yet he has disdain for them. He says, I will not do it. But a man becomes evil like that, he becomes an evil doer. When he understands what is right to do, he doesn't do it. That's an evil man. He's an evil man. You take a man that knows that, I take an example of this little dog there. He knows it's wrong just to kick the dog to death. When a man just kicked the dog to death, that's an evil man. That's evil. There's no conscience of any fear at all. And that's what this generation is. There's no fear. That's why these young fools today, they wear their shirts and no fear. They don't fear laws. They don't fear Yahweh. They don't fear mother. They don't fear father. They don't fear authority. There's no fear at all. And they're fools. They're depraved. Their minds have been induced by powers of darkness. He said, I'm going to punish this world for their evil. And he said, and the wicked now. And the wicked for their iniquity. They said to me, no, Yahweh, I will not do what you say. That's what a man of iniquity is. That's what Satan is. He's a son of perdition. He is an iniquitous thing. An effeminate thing, what he is. He said, I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease. But because the proud is cursed. And I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. He said, I'm going to cause it to cease. Isaiah says in chapter 6, verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but you don't even perceive. He said, I tell you what to do, you don't understand that. I show you what to do, you can't even see. It is a blind generation. They're blind guides, leading the blind. And they're both falling into ditches. I will show you what he says in Ezekiel. He told Ezekiel to warn. That's what he told him. That the blood would not be responsible in his hand. And it's one thing this man of Yahweh has done. I've warned. I've preached against sin. I've shown the people their iniquitous ways. I have. And my life has been an example before them. I've not walked in a way that was contrary. Say what they will. I don't care. I've not been a thief. I've not been a robber. I've not raped the daughters, I've not raped the sons, I've not abused them. Yes, I've reproved, I've rebuked, I've done things in ignorance. Sure have. I've healed, I've poured out the healing balm of Gilead. Sure have. He said, you warn them. The true sign of one that walks in the Spirit, he constantly warns. Because he warns. For it is a terrible thing to fall in the hand of this living Yahweh. He's a terrifying king. He said, my day is, first of all, is a day that is cruel. It is a day of wrath, and it's one of fierce anger. I don't think I want to fall at his hands in that, under that condition. I don't believe I want to do that. And for us to think that he's going to pacify us in our sins and allow us to continue to walk in corruption without health. He's going to punish, he's going to eradicate the earth of sinners. And the evildoers and workers of iniquity, their ways, there's a price. And they're going to pay the penalties for those things. So it behooves us to find a place of repentance. We cry unto the Father. He's about you that. I know what you're always doing in this hour. He's trying to put some soundness in his people. That you can begin to cry deliberately without being coerced, without being pressed. That you will do it from your heart. He's trying to show you that this trash that we call love has never been love. You never loved him. For a man truly loves him, he keeps his laws, his commandments. I'll tell you what, listen to it. This is the commandment of Yahweh. Let everything that hath breath praise ye, Yahweh. See, those are his commandments. He means what he says. He has laws. And he knows that these laws bring us to that perfect place of refinement. Don't you understand that there's a law of gravity? Do you not understand that there is a law of aerodynamics? Do you understand that? And you can't defy one principle of dynamics to fly. There's a code of aerodynamics. You cannot get an airplane up and fly because unless you follow the precise method of aerodynamics. And if you take one equation out of that, it will never fly. It will look all pretty. It will look beautiful. It will have a splendid look, but it will not fly. It will not go forth. Not at all. And so you can't defy the law of resurrection and hope. The scripture is the law of resurrection and hope. So if you defy one of those laws and you fail, that's why we need his mind and his spirit to do what he commands us to do. And he has not brought us to a place where we can't do it. He's given us the power to do that. Man that soweth iniquity, he shall. If you sow iniquity, you're going to reap vanity. And that's why we have a world that is walking in such vanity today. Because they're sowing iniquity. A man that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. And that's why you have such vain minds today. Because of the iniquity. They want the vain things. No things of life, they're after vain things. Everything, as the preacher man says, vanity, 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 says the preacher man. Everything is for the vanity. Everything. There's no life in nothing. 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 Outside of him, there's no life. Not in riches. Not in homes. Not in cars. Not in wealth. Only in him. And because of a man's iniquity, because of iniquity, he sow iniquity, he sow a lawless way, he reaps nothing but vanity. It brings no gratification or satisfaction to his soul. It doesn't bring him close unto the Father. Because he loves iniquity. Everything he does is vain. It's full of vanity. The scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 14, that Yahweh gave this prophet a commission and a command. He shall want you to go and tell the people what I say. And I mean what I says. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 14. He said, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in heat and bitterness in the heat of my spirit. He said, but the hand of Yahweh was strong upon me. Then I came to them of captivity at Tel Abib, that dwell by the river of Shebar, and I sat where they sat, and I remained there astonished amongst them 7 days. He had to show him the complete thing. So he allowed Ezekiel 7 days. He said, I was astonished. I was flabbergasted to see them and what they were doing. And it came to pass at the end of the 7 days that the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, he said, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. He said, first of all, therefore, hear the word of my mouth. Therefore, when you are watching, you will hear the word of his mouth. Are you not watching for your soul? And yet you hear the word of your own deceitful tongue, your own deceitful heart. And he said, hear the word of my mouth. Well, what word did you hear? You give yourself over unto studying the scripture. He said, I want you to hear the word of my mouth. And when you hear the word of my mouth, I want you to give them warning from me. Has nothing to do with you, Ezekiel. He said, I want you to give them warning from me. Now, this is a generation don't think. It doesn't think that Yahweh is warning them. He's giving them over to pleasures and sensual pleasures. He's giving them over unto their own lust today, saints. That's why they love pleasures. This is a generation that love pleasures. Young men will sell their souls and daughters will sell their souls for some sense of feel or emotion. Women will sell their souls for some identity. They will lose insight on him just to satisfy the urges of their flesh. And it's a reality today. It is. It is. That's why you got to know them that labor. Yeah, you got to even know your ways. You got to know your heart. See, that's what labor amongst you more than anything. Your own wicked heart. You labor to lie. You labor to satisfy you. You labor to make sure that things are appropriate for you. To know them. You got to know the members of your body, your mind, your thoughts, your conscience. You don't even know that. That's why you're so easily deceived. Your own conscience, your own mind deceive you and pull you away from the perfect law of Yahweh. And when you begin to understand that and know that, you will know what spirit rule in you. And once you begin to know what spirit rule in you, you will know the one that is being led by Yahweh's spirit because you will know that Yahweh is leading you. He said, you give them warning for me. He said, when I say to the wicked, look at how he said it now. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. He deals with the wicked man's iniquity. He says he's going to die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yahweh doesn't speak to you to speak to one. If the word of Yahweh doesn't show you what to speak, then woe unto you. You cause one to be led astray into darkness. Woe unto your soul. You're going to stand before him and judge in the blood. I don't care what you think, what you believe, the blood is going to be required. That's why he said, Ezekiel, hear the words that I speak to you from my mouth. And you give them warning. I speak to you. And you take that and give them warning. Amen. You give them warning. So men today, they speak by their corrupt flesh. The wicked ways. Or speak by the spirit of Yahweh. No, it doesn't. Not at all. Not one bit at all. He said, you give them warning. And you warn them of their wicked ways. You tell them, you warn the wicked. You warn the wicked. And he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways. He said, he shall die. He shall now. He shall die. That's a confirmative there. He shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. So I want my soul delivered. I'm going to deliver my soul. I'm going to keep my soul free. Because I warn. Everything I preach is a warning. He said, you have delivered your soul. You're not responsible for that soul. That soul, he said, you have delivered yourself from my judgment. I believe that. He said, you have delivered thy soul. And he said, again now, Ezekiel, I want to tell you something. What a righteous man. How can a righteous man now? We say we're righteous now. Listen to this. What a righteous man doth turn. If we're righteous, we turning? You say you're righteous and your mind is turned from spiritual to carnal. Paul said, how can it be? You have begat in the spirit. Now you're going to perfect this thing by the flesh. He said, what foolish people. Oh, foolish Galatians. Yeah, they were foolish. He said, who have bewitched you? You have begun in the spirit. And now you're going to make this thing right by the flesh. He said, this persuasion, this didn't come from above. And these folks are there not being persuaded by the Father. They've been persuaded by hell. There's a contingency of darkness that has overcharged the body in the earth today. You take a stronghold in the minds of many today. There's no liberty. There's no power to resist. There's no ability to deny it. Just take them out of the stronghold of it. They can't hear the voice of Yahweh. They cannot hear truth. He said, what a righteous man that turned from his righteousness. And that man, look now, he simply said, he not committeth now. He doesn't continue to sit to walk in that. There are things that you do, you don't continue to walk in those things. Look what he says now. He said, when a man commit, not committeth, not the continual or continuous walk, but he commits iniquity, not iniquities, but iniquity. What is iniquity? When a man's mind is seared against Yahweh. But he says, not right. When he challenged the Father. He said, when that man commit iniquity, he said, and I lay a stumbling block before him. He said, that man, he shall die. He shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin. His iniquity, his sin now. Not sins. Sin. And his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. This blood now will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man, that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. And the hand of Yahweh was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plains, and I will there talk with thee. And he talked with him. He warned him. He told him what things to speak unto a righteous man. Do not become self-righteous and arrogant, full of pride, and think that it's your works that's going to save you. Your works are filthy rags, your deeds, and what person you think you are. Everything we do should glorify him. I'm not here to glorify Dave Roberts because I'm nothing to him. He's a piece of flesh, worthless, has no importance. It is the glory of his name as Messiah, King to glorify and to make known the presence of this great King. He said, you warn that man. You tell him. You warn the righteous. Don't sin. Don't go that way. Don't do that. Don't turn your heart away from the Father. He said, if the man rejects that, if the righteous will go forth in his own iniquity, he said, I will lay a stumbling block. You understand what a stumbling block is? You look that up in your dictionary. It will tell you what a stumbling block is. There's an impediment there. There's something to actually cause him to fall. He doesn't intend for him to get up. So you see, you warn them. You tell them that their iniquity, that tongue, it is a world. That's what it is. It is a world of iniquity. That's what it is. It is a very vile thing. James said, and the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity is what it is. So is the tongue amongst our members, that it defileth the whole body. For you can listen, my friends. I'm warning you. It defiles the whole body. And he wants us to present our bodies unto him as a living, holy, clean, pure sacrifice. There's one thing that thing does. It defiles the whole body. And it setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. It's going to be burned into hell. It's a wicked thing. It's a corrupt thing. It's a thing of iniquity. It boasteth. Full of pride. For we don't let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Yahweh.